Henry and Clarissa are greatly encouraged by your love. I want us to begin this service by reading from God's Word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The only true comfort that we do comfort one another and we seek to try to encourage one another, but the only real comfort that is sure is from God's Word. And pray that we will be encouraged and comforted by what the Lord has spoken. And we also pray for Emerson and Margaret, who live in Canada. That's Peggy's mom and dad. They're watching live online, and our sympathy goes to them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Last Friday, a week ago today, we were sitting at Peggy's bedside, and I was reading to her from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And she just fell asleep. She just stopped breathing, and the Lord took her so peacefully. And now the Lord tells us that for a believer, it's sleep, it's not death. You remember what the Lord said to Martha when she was grieving over the loss of her brother Lazarus. And the Lord said that he would rise again. And Martha said, I know that he will rise in the resurrection. And the Lord said to Martha, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and abideth in me shall never die. And the Lord asked Martha, believest thou this? And Martha said, I believe that thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the one Son of God, to conquer death. That's what the Lord Jesus did. He conquered death. That's where I was reading from 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, through Christ Jesus, we have the victory. The Lord conquered death. We believe what the Lord said. Believest thou this? He that believeth in me shall never die. Never die. And so the Lord likens this passing for the child of God as sleep. He says, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. We have a sure hope in the promises of God and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though we sorrow, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is by the word of the Lord. This is God's word. This is not my opinion or anybody else's. This is what God says. That we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Three times he refers to death as sleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the last verse says, wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Comfort ye one another. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Oh, the Lord would comfort our hearts with that comfort that can only be found in the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. our merciful Heavenly Father. We pray that you would send your Spirit in power, that you would bless us with the gift of faith, that we would believe all that you've promised and all that you've done, and that we would hang all the hopes that we've ever had on the finished work of thy dear Son. We know, Lord, that you're the only one that can speak peace to the heart. And so we pray that you would use your word. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Lord, use your word to speak peace to Henry, to Clarissa, to Peggy's mother and father, to Emerson, and to Margaret. Lord, we pray that you would comfort our hearts as we mourn the loss of our dear friend and sister. And yet, Lord, we know that she is glorying in the fullness of all that you've provided for her as for all your people in salvation. We ask it in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. Tom's going to come and lead us in 296 in the hardback hymnal. Let's stand together.
Thank you all for coming. Greg's asked me to say a few words and way of a eulogy for Peggy. And he said, yeah, you don't have to worry about preparing. Just speak from your heart. And my God, there's just so much to say about Peggy. In the 20 years, Peggy, we've known Henry and Peggy for a long time. She's going to be dearly missed by us. Greg has already mentioned that her parents, Emerson and Margaret, are watching. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to lose your child. Most of us can't imagine what that would be like. So we grieve with Peggy's parents. We grieve with Emerson and Margaret. She's also survived by her sister Winifred, and cousins and relatives. And there's a cousin that Peggy was close with, Beth, and her husband Eric. So we want to acknowledge them as well, and we sorrow with your sorrows. Boy, there's so many things that I'm going to miss about Peggy. We've known Henry and Peggy since before moving down here, and that was a little over 20 years ago. Henry and Peggy were among the first people that we knew and that we met in this church when we were just visiting. And Henry and Peggy would come over to Phil and Margaret's house. And Margaret, I hope that you're able to watch as well, because I know she was a good friend for you. They would come over to Phil and Margaret's house, and she was one of the friendliest people that I've ever known. And we've known her for such a long time. The thing about Peggy was you never had to worry about your words. You never had to worry about, oh, did I say that the wrong way, or did she take that the wrong way? Peggy was Peggy. Peggy, what you saw was what you got. And, And she would come up to you after the service, and she'd be all excited about the message. She loved the Lord, and I would listen to her sometimes, and I'd think, wow, she has a spirit that I wish I had. You know, she has a love for the Lord that, you know, sometimes my heart waxes so cold. And so that was something about Peggy that I think will always live in our hearts. She loved her family. She loved her friends. She was she always spoke in such glowing terms about Clarissa and Henry. You know, sometimes you'll get a spouse who will kind of, you know, say some things about their husband, maybe the wife, maybe not so nice, and you know, never a word from Peggy other than, you know, what a great family she had. And she always appreciated the love and support that she got from you guys. The happiest time for both Henry and Peggy happened 17 years ago. When the Lord moved their heart to adopt Clarissa, and all the pictures circulated around, and this little baby, and suddenly their lives changed. And she loved you dearly, and from the very beginning. And that was a bond that we shared with Peggy, as we adopted twice as well. And and the analogy is how the Lord Jesus adopts sinners. Undeserving, ungrateful at times, sinners who have nothing to earn, nothing that they've earned to be in heaven, to be under the grace of God, and yet God adopts his children from love and mercy, and that's what it reminded me of when Henry and Peggy said, yeah, we're going to get a baby. And who would have known that you would turn out so great? It was just amazing. You could see this visible change in them. Their hearts were so light. It's just best thing that ever happened to them. And I will tell you that they loved our dog too. I know this is going to probably sound a little weird, but something you guys might not know, but for many years, When we would go away, Henry and Peggy and Clarissa would watch our dog, Princess. And at first we thought it was kind of an imposition, and then they were just kind of doing us a favor, but it became very clear that they loved our dog. And this is before they got their own dog. And they would send us pictures. Wherever we were going, they would send us pictures of Princess. Just a very sweet family, a very loving family, and Peggy was such a big part of that. When Greg asked me to do this, I immediately thought about having done this 2 months ago, when we sadly had to bury my mom. My mom passed 2 months ago from COVID, and but there's such a difference. There is such a difference, and Greg has already alluded to this, right? And so I'm gonna read the same scripture again, if that's okay. But I would not, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, and this makes all the difference in the world. But I would not have you ignorant, to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. When my mom passed, I'll tell you, we have very little hope. My mom was never really open to the gospel. She wasn't hostile towards it because she saw what it had done in our lives. But my mom was resistant to the gospel. At the very end, we had the opportunity to read some scriptures to her and to pray and to play hymns. Completely different when a child of God passes. Completely different. And so we weep, but not without hope. Not without hope. And I'll just, you know, the God of all comfort, right? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father. I'm sorry. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. In all of our tribulation, even the death of a loved one, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. And that is the gift, that is the gift of grace that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. And that is the comfort. And you know, we talk about the fact that, oh man, 2020 has been such a horrible year, such a terrible year. And there have been a lot of losses and a lot of pain and struggles, not the least of which is the passing of our dear sister. I remind myself that this is the year that God has ordained for us. This is exactly how the plan was supposed to go from before time began. And we weep and we mourn for our losses, but we don't weep without hope. And we do have the God of all comfort. And so I pray that as a congregation, as a family, that we're able to continue to remind ourselves and remind Henry and Clarissa that the God of all comfort watches out for his children and takes care of his children. May it be that we would look to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of our wants, all of our needs, and all of our comfort. We will miss Peggy. We will miss Peggy, but we have a great Savior, and we know where she is, and someday we'll join her, and that's the comfort. Thank you.
Let's stand together. Once again, we're going to sing hymn number 236 in the Hardback Hymnal, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Henry and I were reminiscing the other day about when they first moved here from California, and how they came. It was 1996 when they first came to our church, and Henry said we were there the Sunday that Todd preached, and after that, you know, there was some turmoil, and Henry and Peggy had experienced a church split in California. And Henry said, yeah, I really want to be a part of this. You know, we've already gone through that before. And Peggy said, no. So I heard something. I want to keep hearing. The Lord gave Peggy ears to hear the gospel from the very day that I heard the gospel. We heard the gospel at the same time. And What a great blessing it's been to us over these years, Henry and Clarissa, to enjoy that fellowship with Peggy. We have a brother in our church, Jack Bond, and several years ago, the Lord took his wife home. And the last thing that Jack's wife told him, she said, honey, she said, the Lord will provide for you, and you'll be following me soon. And what a statement of faith. And it's true. You know, this service is not for Peggy. People sometimes foolishly, we hear people say, well, you know, they're looking down from heaven. No, they're not. Heaven wouldn't be heaven. If there was any consciousness whatsoever of this sinful world, heaven wouldn't be heaven. No, Peggy's enjoying the full glory of Christ right now. And the scripture says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's where Peggy is. That's our hope. That she's glorying in Christ. The corruptible flesh has been made incorruptible. And she's without sin. And not missing us a bit. And that's a good thing. No, these services are for us. They're for us to find comfort and grace and hope. in our own salvation and in our own loss. In John chapter 13, the Lord told the disciples that he was going away and that he was going to die. And they didn't understand. And the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." When the Lord Jesus Christ, as the living Word, ascended back into glory, he did not return void. The scripture says that God's word accomplishes the purpose for which God sends it. The purpose that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world was to accomplish the salvation of his people. And when he ascended back into glory, he took with him the names of those for whom he lived and died. And he did everything necessary to prepare a place for us. He said, "I go and prepare a place for you." His presence is the preparation for glory. His redemptive work on Calvary's cross was all that God required for the putting away of the sins of his people. And the Lord accomplished that. He went on to say, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there." And that's when the Lord said to the disciples, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." And then Philip piped up and said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And the Lord said, "Oh, Philip, have I not been with you so long that you don't know that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? For I and the Father are one." When the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself through faith to the heart, he's revealing himself as God. As God. All that we'll ever know about God will be revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I hope that we can find comfort in those words, "Let not your heart be troubled." Believe. Believe. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And yet we know that this faith is a miracle of grace. It's a gift from God. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourself." We can't just decide we're going to believe. The Lord gives faith through the preaching of the gospel. And our hope is that, you know, the disciples said, "Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith." That's what you and I are in need of right now. Peggy has no need for anything. Nothing. All her needs have been met. She's experiencing the fullness of what David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." She's not in want of anything. And that's our hope. But we're the ones in need. That the Lord would increase our faith and enable us to rest all our hopes on the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The service is for us. It's for the strengthening of the believer's faith. It's in hope that those who are strangers to God's grace might be brought through the preaching of the gospel to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's our hope. Because without that, there is no hope. There's no life outside of Christ. That's why he said, "I am the way. I am the truth." And not that I'm going to show you the way. Not I'll teach you the truth. I am the way. I am the... "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." God would reveal Christ to our hearts and give us the hope that our sister Peggy had in Christ. a time for us to be reminded of our immortality, our need for grace, our need to have our sins forgiven. Truth is, as Jack was told by his wife, "Honey, you'll be following me soon. This life is a vapor. It is a vapor." And the older we get, the more we realize how brief it is. And it won't be long from this day, mark my words, it won't be long from this day that your friends and my friends will be gathering in a service just like this. And they'll be mourning our loss. And what hope is there outside of Christ? There is no hope. Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's what the scripture says. Christ who is our life. He is our life. Also, this is a time for us to rejoice. To rejoice in the Lord. Paul said again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. We have reason to rejoice. In our sorrow, we rejoice. We rejoice in knowing that our God reigns and he hath done whatsoever he wills. That everything he does is perfect. It's all working according to his purpose and his plan. Our God is a God of purpose. He's not just trying to get things done. That's what the world says. You know, he wants to save if you just let him. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, our God is absolutely sovereign. And he's all-powerful. And he's immutable. And when he's ready to save, he saves. He saves. No, we don't worship a God who's depending on us to let him have his way. We worship a God who is omnipotent. What great comfort and hope we have. And knowing that no man can stay his hand and no man can say unto him, what doest thou? He's the potter, we're the clay. He has the right to make from the same lump of clay some vessels of honor and some of dishonor. Therefore it is not of him who willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. We're dependent on him, aren't we? We come before him believing the promises of God. We rest in the glorious person and in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, come unto me, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest, rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. Why is his burden light? Because he bore the full burden of our sin on Calvary's cross. The burden's been, that's why the Lord said to Isaiah, he said, comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem and tell them their warfare is accomplished. The Lord Jesus Christ fought the battle and got the victory. So that it's already been won. That's what Peggy believed. That's who he believed. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. I'm entrusting my soul to him. We also have a Christ who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Shortest verse in the Bible. You know what it is. Jesus wept. Where did that happen? In John chapter 11. At a funeral service. At a graveside. The Lord wept to show his compassion. I mean, the scripture says we do not have a high priest who's not able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all ways tested and tempted as we are, yet without sin. Without sin. He was born of a woman. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He experienced all the troubles that you and I have, and infinitely more in this life. And he wept. He wept. He said, it's a day of weeping. It's a day of sorrow. And it's a time of rejoicing at the same time, isn't it? That's why he said, therefore, come confidently. The scripture uses the word boldly, but that word boldly doesn't mean with some sort of confidence in ourselves. It's a confidence that Christ has paved the way. That when he bowed his mighty head on Calvary's cross and said, it is finished, and the veil was rent, God opened up the way into the holies of holies. And so he says, come boldly, with confidence, to the throne of grace. We don't come before a throne of law, we come before a throne of grace. That you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. We have a need, Lord. We have a need for your comfort, for your grace, for your mercy. We have a need for faith. We have a need for forgiveness. We have a need for hope. We have a need for grace. All those things are given to us in the person of Christ. So the bottom line is, Christ is all, and he is in all, and we need him. Lord, I need you. I need Christ. You know, last words are very significant. Peggy, they say that hearing is the last thing to go in this life. And there seemed to be some evidence that Peggy was hearing you, Henry, and Clarissa. I believe she was hearing the word of God in the last moments of her life, though she was not able to speak. The last words are very significant, and the Lord's last words to his disciples when he ascended into glory. And the disciples said, Lord, is it time now for you to establish your kingdom? And the Lord said, it's not for you to know the time of the season. But you go back to Jerusalem. What's a Jerusalem a picture of? It's a picture of this church. It's a city of peace. It's where we find peace with God. He said, you go back into Jerusalem and you wait. And the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Peggy, I know from personal conversation with her, had a great burden for her unbelieving friends and family members. And she was a bold witness. She was waiting for the Lord and knew what it meant to have the Spirit of God. That was the Lord's last words, and he ascended into glory. And the angels came and asked the disciples, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who has ascended from you is going to come again in like manner. And last Friday at 6 o'clock, he sent his angels. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? And the scripture says that that Lazarus was taken by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. And that happened. The Lord sent his angels yesterday and came and received our sister into his presence. And that's our hope. That's our hope for her. And oh, I pray the Lord would give us that hope and confidence in Christ for ourselves. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 24, the scripture says, these be David's last words. Now we know that David is a type of Christ. He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was the king of Israel. He was the shepherd. He was the prophet. And he was the king. And in so many ways, David pictures Christ. Even when David went against Goliath, he represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the agreement that was made between the Philistines and the Israelites? We'll put one man against one man, and whoever wins, the whole nation will submit. And David went as a type of Christ, and he slew the giant. Christ went to Calvary's cross and he slew He slew sin. He slew the grave. He slew damnation. He got the victory. And all of the enemy was subject to Israel as a result of David. David typifies Christ in so many ways. But here's David. The scripture says, these be David's last words. When David was on his deathbed, he spoke these words. He said, although my house be not so with God. Now, just like every single one of us, David had troubles in his home. His children, his grandchildren, his wives, he had problems. And David, if David looked to the stability and to the model of his house for the hope of his salvation, he wouldn't have had anything to hope for. But also David was speaking of the tabernacle of his own flesh. When he said, although my house be not so with God, I'm not like I want to be. I'm not like I ought to be. If I look to myself for the hope of my salvation, what hope do I have? I mentioned earlier that Peggy heard the gospel the same time I heard it. We heard it from Todd Nybert. He came here in 1996 and preached from Leviticus chapter 13 on the cleansing of the leper. You preached, Hugo, you preached on leprosy just a couple of weeks ago. What a picture of our state before God. We're leprous, we're sinners. Peggy believed herself to be a sinner, and that's such a good thing. For this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's who he came to save. You see, there's no hope of salvation unless you're a sinner. Peggy would say with King David, although my house be not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant. Now the word everlasting means that it never had a beginning and it never had an end. And David's hope of salvation was based on a covenant that he said was everlasting. Now in religion we hear about men making a covenant is a promise. And we hear men talk about, well, you know, give your heart to Jesus and make a promise to God and he'll save you. That's not an everlasting covenant. That's a covenant that man makes. That's a promise that man makes. And God says that covenant, Isaiah chapter 28, the Lord said, I will disannul that covenant. That covenant will not stand. A covenant that you make, a salvation that's based on our promise to God, is no salvation at all. David said, yet, though my house be not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant. This is the covenant of grace. It's the eternal covenant. Where God Almighty chose according to his own will and purpose a particular people before the world was ever created. God sovereignly decided who was going to be his. And the Lord Jesus Christ entered into that covenant relationship with the Father. And he promised to come to this world in time and do everything necessary for the redemption of God's elect. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. And God the Holy Spirit entered into that promise. And he said, I'll go and I'll open the eyes of their understanding. I'll unstop their ears. I'll take out their heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. And I will make them willing in the day of my power. Now that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit coveting together without any dependence upon us for anything. That's a salvation that's sure and steadfast. David said, although my house be not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. What made that covenant of God, that everlasting covenant, that covenant of grace, what makes it so sure? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ His work on Calvary's cross is what made us sure. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ bore in his body on Calvary's cross all the sins of all of God's people, and he put them away once and for all by the sacrifice of himself, so that they are no more. God said, I remember your sins no more. Separated them from you as far as the east is from the west. That was Peggy's hope. Peggy had a great hope that her sins had been buried. They'd been cast into the depths of the sea. They'd been covered by the blood of Christ. They were put out of God's sight, not by any commitment that she made or a decision that she made, but by what Christ did on Calvary's cross when he said, it is finished. Finished. There's the gospel of God's grace. God's not in heaven wringing his hands, wishing that men would let him have his way. God's not begging men to please let Jesus into your heart. No. No, he finished the work. And when he ascended back into glory, he took with him the names of those for whom he lived and died. And they are seated in Christ at the right hand of God. Now that's a sure hope. Because a hope that's based on the decision that I make or work that I perform, we're going to mess it up, aren't we? We're going to mess it up. Christ could not mess it up. He performed his work perfectly. He said, did thou not know that I must be about my Father's business? The work that thou gavest me to do, I have finished. He finished it. That was David's last. It's ordered in all things and sure, this covenant of grace that I'm hoping in for my salvation was completely fulfilled by the person and accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a sure hope. And then David went on to say, this is all my salvation and all my desire. I got all my eggs in one basket. Peggy had all her hope on Christ. She wasn't looking to a prayer that she had prayed or a time in her life when she had done something. No, she cast all her care on him. She would say with the Apostle Paul, I'm persuaded. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him. I've entrusted everything to him. Put it all on Christ. All on Christ. David said, this is all my salvation and all my desire. Not looking anywhere else. Now that's a work of grace in the heart. Because most folks, you know, they got Jesus, plus they got a religious experience, plus they got their works that they're performing for God, and then they're looking to themselves to look for evidences of salvation. David said, although my house be not so with God, I can't see any evidence in my own life. And at the end of that statement, he said this, although he make it not to grow. Peggy would not have testified a month ago when she was here. She was here a month ago in service. She didn't tell any of you that she was better then than she was 20 years ago, was she? No, she didn't. She wouldn't. That wasn't her profession. When we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't believe ourselves to be getting better. We see more and more of our sin and more of our need for Christ. And as we grow in grace, we become more and more humble and more dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. Peggy was never more dependent on Christ than the last days of her life. although he make it not to grow. We persevere because the Lord keeps us. Because the Lord continues to make himself known to us and reveal himself to us. This is the gospel, isn't it? Sinful, depraved, no righteousness whatsoever. All my righteousness is as filthy rags. Christ is all my righteousness before God. I have no righteousness outside of him. He made the covenant. The covenant of grace established in eternity past. That's my hope. And he ordered it in all things. And therefore it is sure by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is all my salvation. Not looking anywhere else. This is all my desire. Though he make it not to grow. I can't look at myself and be proud of being better now than I was before. No, I'm more dependent on him now than I've ever been before. That was Peggy's testimony. I've preached that message before here, maybe a couple times. And Peggy would have said, as you said, Jerry, after the service, amen. What great hope. What great hope we have. We have a great hope for our sister. And Henry, the Lord will provide for you. And you and me and every one of us will be following her soon. And what a glorious day that'll be. When we're able to see him as he is and be made like him. Going to be some sad, lonely moments, days, for each of us, missing our sister, most especially, and for you, and Clarissa, for you. Pray the Lord will remind you and comfort you with the glorious work of Christ and his person and finished work. And that he will give each of us the same hope that David had, the same hope that Martha had. The Lord said, believest thou this? He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Oh, yes, Lord. Yea, Lord, I believe. I believe that thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Savior of sinners, the Son of God. Now I'm resting all my hope on who you are and what you've done. That's a sure hope. So we have a day of sadness and at the same time, a day of rejoicing. That's not a contradiction. It's our experience, isn't it? It's our experience. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, both written and living. We thank you for the accomplished work of thy dear Son. We thank you for the testimony that you gave our sister to rest all her hope in Christ and his shed blood. Lord, we pray that you would increase our faith. Cause us in this time of loss and sadness to find our hope also in Christ. Pray for Henry and Clarissa especially, and for Emerson and Margaret. Lord, their hearts are sad and hurting. Reveal Christ to them and comfort them with that comfort that only you can give. Lord, keep us. Keep us here in Jerusalem. Keep us looking to Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Caleb, where are you? Caleb's going to lead us in a very familiar hymn. Sing along in your heart. Feel free. We'll listen for a few minutes and then we'll be dismissed. Caleb.
Which number is it?
It's in the back of the spiral hymnal. Why don't you come up here, Kevin? Lead us from the front.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath guarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well, it is well. My soul, for me be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above we shall roll, no pain shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest. faith shall be sighed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well. With my soul, with my soul, it is well.